is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, a movie podcast where our motto is, we just hope it doesn't suck. This is episode 376, broken up into two parts, A and B.
B.
I never know what I'm getting each week. I never know. 376A, posting on 4-2, will be a discussion on Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. And 376B, thank you for that, Chris. Posting on 4-5, will be a discussion on Roadhouse, an Amazon exclusive.
Patrick Swayze's punching another guy.
With two impossibly huge dudes in it. I am one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell. Joining me, as he does every week, is my co-host, Roger Stillian, our lovely permaguest, Chris Bond. Gentlemen, how are we in this late March Easter weekend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's Easter weekend.
First and foremost, happy Easter celebration to everyone in the country or anywhere around the globe who wants to celebrate it. Happy celebration to you.
It's not Easter for everybody, just so you know that.
And it won't be Easter when they listen to this either.
It'll be past.
Be like, I hope you had a great Easter would be the correct way to lead into that.
You celebrated this version's Easter.
If you celebrated traditional Easter that takes place in the United States, then we hope you had a good one. How's that?
Sure. Fair enough.
All right. Fair enough. Gentlemen, how are we this week? What's going on?
I ate a fillet of fish for dinner. It was good.
Nice.
Do you remember that annoying, that McDonald's song that, give me that fillet of fish, give me that fish? Remember that song for like 3 months that like viral advertising they were doing?
No. You ever heard a little song called Whopper, Whopper, Whopper?
I don't know what joke you're making, but no, I have
Fuck
not.
No.
No, I have not. But I do remember that. Give me that fillet of fish.
Have you not heard the Burger King song? The fuck?
I haven't, but you haven't heard the fillet of fish song, so we're even.
Well, one of mine has been, you know, the most advertised thing in the past 2 fucking years, and one is some random fillet of fish song you're talking about.
No, it's
like
not. If you
like 1980s or something.
No. If you Googled it, give me that fillet of fish, give me that fish, and listen to it, you'd remember those commercials really well. It was like not even that long ago, to be honest. Well, maybe it was. I don't know.
On that subject, do you guys have like a really weird commercial that you've like never forgotten?
Yes.
Okay, tell me.
No. Okay, so like, look. So when I was a little kid, there was a Christmas commercial for fucking Fruity Pebbles.
All right? Okay, yeah.
Right. And like it had this song where I forget, it was one of the Flintstones, like it was Barney or Fred, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like he's singing to like the jingle bells, like, ho, 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 I'm hungry, and he's pouring in fucking Fruity Pebbles. I will remember that till the day I fucking die.
Jesus.
And, like Santa Claus comes down the chimney.
Oh no.
It's like stuck in my brain forever.
Okay, I have one too. So there was an old Tetris commercial in like the early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was when the Game Boy was out, the first Game Boy, and the Tetris came out for it. It was some weird caveman dancing around fire singing song. It was so fucking nuts and out there. But the whole time he's dancing around the fire, Tetris blocks are like trying to fall on his feet, he's like dodging them and stuff, and it's just a weird commercial, a weird song, and a weird fucking caveman by fire dancing around. So messed up, and I'll never forget that commercial.
Good.
For the rest of my life.
Isn't that funny how like that's how they wanted to advertise Tetris? That's how they thought would reach the most amount of people.
Yeah,
that
right.
Advertisement. Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's funny. Even like they didn't. No one really. Even marketing didn't understand video games even back then.
He was singing the Walla Walla Bing Bang song.
Yeah, I was just gonna say thing. Bing bang, walla walla, bing bang.
Yeah, they were singing that while that is so fucking weird. What about you, Grayson? Weird commercial besides your fish fillet commercial,
which doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's not real anyway.
I remember stuff like when people say commercials. I remember back to like the 90s when like you know how you had those like especially those food commercials for every like fast food restaurant that showed the fries like dancing out of a fry thing or
like some of your actual nightmares now.
I don't remember like I don't think I remember. Well, I do remember individual commercials. Like, I remember like Chevy like. Chevrolet like a rock. You know how the thing it would show that
memorable jingles. Yep.
I miss those days. I really miss the days. And there's one favorite. I forget when this commercial was. I forget where it might have been on like a big event, but it was this dude who was like he was on a treadmill, he's standing on a scale and he sets the scale and you see the weight and then he runs and the camera's like in like. Facing him and you see the whole room behind him and he runs around the room once and then gets back on the scale and the scale doesn't change and he taps it and looks super mad that he didn't lose any weight by going around the room once. I just thought that was really funny. I don't know what I remember. It was advertising, but I just remember the commercial.
Jesus.
I know. That was really great.
God, yeah, I fucking found it.
What? What'd you find?
He found his Fruity Pebbles commercial.
It's from 1995.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
We should do a vibe. We should do a B episode on like commercials we remember.
The 90s were weird, man.
Dude, they were amazing. I miss the 90s so much. Mm-hmm. I miss them. What else is going on, guys? Anything?
No.
Okay, well, let's score it. Let's move the score.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good.
Four.
You're weak.
Oh my gosh, stop. Don't. That breaks my heart. You want to give it that, but
my week was about a six.
My week?
Maybe a seven, actually.
Maybe I'm talking about the movies.
You are talking about the movies. I know you are. Now I know you're giving me a four. God damn it.
All right, let's go.
It does not deserve a four.
Great segue in. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. This is episode 376.
I have all the fucking ammunition for it.
This is episode 376 of Forward Love Cinema, a podcast about movies, film, and cinema. It's posted each and every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. on Podbean, which then distributes to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and now YouTube. Each week we start with the box office, current and upcoming releases, what streaming, trailers, and movies of the week. Without further ado, actually there is further ado because there's no box office yet. We're recording on Saturday because people have holiday festivities tomorrow. So there's no box office this week. We'll catch up with that next week.
Godzilla is winning.
Yeah, but not by much. The dailies haven't been great.
By a significant amount.
Well, sure, but it's not globally, doing what I thought it was going
to
do.
It's tracking to like 170.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. I think people are very excited about that.
Yeah.
So there's no box office this week.
That's okay. Well, then we just move on.
See
you next time, box office.
See you next time, Tuesday. Box office. Current and upcoming releases. Let's take a look at the release schedule moving forward, which I didn't bring up. Fill time.
Okay. So that Christmas commercial for real, every fucking year. Like, I'll hear something, and it just pops back into my head, and it's like a whole other cycle. I'm just, hungry.
It just keeps going, hungry. I don't need that.
All right, enough of that. All right. March 29th, this past Friday, brought us Godzilla Across Kong, the new empire in the land of saints and sinners, which will get eaten up by that. April 5th, which is the first week in April, we have The First Omen, Monkey Man, and Wicked Little Letters Goes Wider. We have April 12th.
2 weeks will be fun.
Civil War, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Sting. April 19th, we have Abigail, Hard Miles, and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Have you guys seen the trailer for Hard Miles yet? It was on Arthur the King for me.
No, I don't think so.
I made it into my Arthur the King right as it was coming on, so I missed the.
It's I forget who's in it. It's about the bike. It's about the team of ex convicts that bike ride. I forget who's in it. Someone big is in it, but I can't remember who it is. But yeah, someone big is in it. But it actually looks okay. It looks like one of those very inspiring things. I'm a big fan of those. April 26th, Challengers. Then there's also a movie said Boy Kills World. My first thought was, is that some kind of riff on Boy Meets World? I was hoping, like Mr. Feeny. Anyway, May 3rd starts off strong with The Fall Guy, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace re-release, and Tarot. May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, We're Grown Now, goes wider. May 17th, Back to Black, If, The Imaginary Friends, and Strangers Chapter 1. May 24th, a big one for you guys, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, and the Garfield movie.
Yes.
Friday the 31st is Garfield Ezra.
Fucking horrible.
I hate Garfield so much to begin with.
I just don't like Chris Pratt.
I am anti. No, listen, your hatred of Chris Pratt is unjust and unfound.
It's not a hatred. It's just I don't think the guy's worth what he's getting. That's all.
But I believe that Garfield is an abomination on all things, and I hated Garfield growing up, and I hate it now, and I will fight anyone who does.
I don't know. You know one thing I do remember, though, talking about things we remember from when we were kids? Do you remember it was a Halloween special of Garfield and Odie?
Nope.
They go on this adventure to find buried treasure. It's scary as hell, man. I still watch that today. I'm like, how did this air?
Is it like a slasher?
That's like
it is. It's very scary. Yes,
that's like saying Halloween Town is scary. It's
No. I'll find it and send it to you guys, and you guys tell me if it's fit for
Halloween Town. That's pornographic.
June 7th, Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, and The Crow. We're gonna talk about The Crow trailer a little later. June 14th, Pixar's Inside Out 2, and The Watchers. June 21st, The Bike Riders, It Ends With Us, two separate movies.
Oh, they finally redated Bike Riders again.
Yep, they did. And June 28th was a Friday. Horizon, an American Saga. I don't even know what that is.
Like Horizon Zero Dawn?
No, I was hoping.
I'd watch it.
Yeah,
that's not it.
Picked up Forbidden West for my PC.
Oh, Horizon, an American Saga. That's got Kevin Costner. I bet you that's got something to do with what's the show he's in that people love?
Zero Dawn.
No, it's in the shot in Nevada. What is
Thunder
that
Jaw? It's in.
All right, we're done.
It's in Montana, and it's called Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Sorry, whatever. We're done. It shoots in Nevada.
He said we're done.
Why can't we keep talking about the horizons? I'm like, God damn it. The joke's tired now. July 3rd.
You can make the Thunderjaw and the big one. They can make them fight each other. If you just hit them. Yeah, it's fucking rad.
That's cool shit.
Platinum in both those. Very, very, very proud of those. July 3rd, Despicable Me 4, which, Chris, you'll be excited for. I'm not. I've not liked one of the. I mean, they're charming. I just don't look forward to them. July 12th, Long Legs and Project Artemis. July 19th, Twisters, and we'll end here. July 26th, Deadpool and Wolverines, DD and Fabulous Four, which I don't know.
What is Project Artemis?
I think we've seen a trailer for that.
I once read a book.
Hopefully, it's the continuation of the riveting Artemis Fowl.
Oh God,
Artemis Fowl 2.
Greg Berlanti's the director, so that gives me some idea. Untitled Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum film.
Romantic comedy.
Set against the backdrop of 1960s space race. You know?
So the book I read about Project Artemis back in the day is about like a mining colony on the moon.
That's
way
cool.
Fucking cooler idea.
That's cool shit.
Yeah. This is not that.
Has Scarlett Johansson, Woody Harrelson, Channing Tatum, Ray Romano, Peter Jacobson, and Joe
Honestly, Crest. Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum in a romantic comedy might get a lot of people to go see that.
Oh, they're two very beautiful human beings, so yeah, maybe.
Come on, you just nod your head, yes.
Because it's true, man. And Harold and the Purple Crayon, one of the movies I've worked on that hasn't come out yet. It's finally redated for August 2nd, so I'm hoping that is a thing.
How long ago did you work on that movie? I thought about that when I saw the fucking
That was
wasn't that like 2 years ago?
October 2021 to May 2022.
Oh my God.
I know, isn't it?
Been a minute.
You know they have Borderlands slated for August 9th?
Yeah,
it's been that way the whole time.
I bet you that gets pushed back a couple times.
You know, I think it might be doing.
August is already a dead zone. Yeah.
So I think it might be worth doing, Chris, a B episode of why that's not a great idea. Because I think, you know, now that we're starting to adapt much bigger and wider scale video games, I think it's a conversation that hasn't had to happen ever, you know, until recently. So I think it'd be nice to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
I don't think some of this
allowed on that episode.
No, of course you can. I'm just like,
you're just not nearly as insightful as me.
Chris was very upset about this trailer, like so upset.
Mm. No, yeah, no, I am passionately angry about the creative decisions behind the Borderlands film.
And Chris, you'll be happy to know, August 14th, there's a movie you love and you talk about all the time. You think movies are a sequel to or a prequel to. It's getting a 3D re-release. It starts with C, ends with Oraline.
When you said C and then oral,
I wish you wouldn't say words like Oraline.
Well, Coraline's getting real. That's kind of cool.
Does Coraline need a 3D release, though? I mean, I can.
Yeah,
it's
only the scariest movie ever made. Let's have it come out of the fucking screen.
I can see scenes where it would work really well, though, but like, I don't know. I feel like shoehorned 3D might be bad, but I don't know. We'll see. I love that movie.
Oh,
I'll
you
go
guys
see
love
that
this.
With my kids.
Check. So, Kraven the Hunter is slated for August 30th.
Ooh.
That Sony abomination is finally going to come out.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
I mean, because Madam Web was such a fucking spectacular.
No, I
might as well just have a shit streak. Here we go.
One every season.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it next week. But Beetlejuice trailer launched finally. Like that was the big deal. Transformers 1 is in September. The Wild Robots in September. Saw 11. I think we're now 8 Saws past what we should be. October is filled with things like Joker, Filet au Doux,
so
Smile 2.
I know some.
Why are we still talking about upcoming releases?
I know some stuff about Joker. So Joker is a musical-ish.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Here's
as
the thing,
well.
But it's all cover stuff.
Huh.
It's like 12 cover songs.
It's weird.
Venom, The Last Dance is that in October. Also, The Terrifier 3.
Is that also a superhero musical?
Venom, The Last Dance. It's fucking just Tom Hardy just busting it out.
I fucking hope so.
I hope so. Yeah, me too. I hope so. November is Red One. That's only specific to me. That was shooting the same building as Bad Boys 4. That was for Amazon. That's The Rock. That's Ryan Reynolds.
It's a Christmas big, Santa yeah. Claus movie.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, Gladiator 2 on November 22nd. Everyone watch it on your phones. You hear that, Ridley Scott? Going to watch Gladiator 2 on our phones. Also slated for November 27th, Thanksgiving weekend, is Moana 2. So that's a pretty big one, I think. And Wicked, which I think will do, I hope does gangbusters, because I really want that to be big. Just a quick, in December, we have The Karate Kid, Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim. We have Mufasa, The Lion King, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and Nosferatu 2. Nothing like a vampire Christmas. Nosferatu 2.
It's Sonic 3 colon.
Nosferatu.
It's Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails versus the Undead Horde.
Fuck yeah, I'd watch that.
Listen, fuck yeah, I would.
I'd be all there for that.
Honestly, give me a Call of Duty Zombies mod where I could be Sonic the Hedgehog spin dashing into people.
Just insert the Smash character in there. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm down.
All right.
But all in first person. Yeah.
That's what's upcoming. Thank you very much for that, gentlemen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's take a look at what's streaming this week. We are looking at Hulu. And, of course, to celebrate Doug Liman, we're talking about Roadhouse, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, also by Doug Liman, with Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Adam Brody, Vince Vaughn, Kerry Washington, Keith David, Michelle Monaghan, Jennifer Morris. Were we
supposed to pick Doug Liman movies?
No, I just did. Sometimes you guys are in sync, and I'm the one out, then like I do it, and you're like, oh, wait, we're supposed to do that? No, it's fine. I really like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith, to me, was John Wick before John Wick was John Wick. It was that very smooth, fluid combat that really just seemed to work, and it didn't look like it was rehearsed. It didn't look like it was a well choreographed thing going on. The combat was great. Doug Liman's a good director for that kind of thing. He cut his teeth with the Bourne stuff. He knows how to make a movie, Doug Liman, which I'm happy I'm talking about this one now, because I have some issues with Roadhouse, and I think you guys will probably have very similar issues, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Mr. and Mrs. Smith is about two assassins that are married to each other, don't know each other's identity, and then find out that they are. And then when they're both targeted, they have to work together to stay alive. It's got one hell of an action sequence towards the end in a department store, which is, it's just beautiful, man. It's like a ballet. It's wonderful. But I've always really been quite in awe of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Not the show. I haven't seen the show. I don't really hear people... Have you guys heard anyone say anything about Mr. and Mrs. Smith? I really haven't heard anything good or bad.
Nope.
Not much good so
nothing.
Far.
I've never heard nothing about it at all.
Yeah.
Well, let's just stick to features then. Thank you very much. Roger, Goodfellas, I know you love this movie quite a bit, by director Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro.
Little known Doug Liman film.
Yeah.
Goodfellas.
Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco, Paul Sorvino, Frank Saverio, 1990.
I mean, like, look. This is the movie that launched some people to superstardom, mm-hmm. like Joe Pesci. De Niro's career was on an upward swing, and this is what like propelled him into like serious award stuff. Like, this is probably the greatest mafioso type movie ever made, and it's funny, it's violent, it's like the perfect version of that kind of movie. And here's the thing, it's long, but it doesn't feel long because it is, the comedy is spaced out so much in between it. But like, I love Goodfellas. I think it's great. I recommend if anybody hasn't seen it. If you're offended easily by language or racial epithets, though, this probably isn't for you.
What?
Just throw that out there, but listen, fucking shit is hilarious.
Hold on, Joe Pesci's in a movie where there's cussing? Weird.
Yes. Turns out, yes.
Yeah.
That's Goodfellas is a damn good movie. I always forget that's 1990. Doesn't it seem not that long ago that Goodfellas was released? But maybe
see, Goodfellas sounds very. I don't know. When I think Goodfellas, I think 80s for some reason.
Yeah, no, so I mean, do I. I think like mid 80s or something some reason. Yeah, but not 90s. But all right, Chris. Pokemon Detective Pikachu by director Rob Letterman, Ryan Reynolds, Justice Smith, Catherine Newton, Bill Nye, and Ken Watanabe.
Mm-hmm. Completing the Doug Liman trilogy.
Exactly.
Talk about Pokemon Detective Pikachu, please, sir.
I think I'm on a similar streak as I was last episode with calling out Raya. I think Detective Pikachu is better than you remember it was. If you think that it wasn't good, it's a perfectly serviceable Pokemon film that should have never worked as well as it did. But you know, when I heard Ryan Reynolds was voicing Pikachu back when this was announced, I thought it was a joke. And it wasn't. Ryan Reynolds voices the Detective Pikachu. And I got to see the Pokemon that I've been, you know, like geeking over as a, you know, from my time as a kid all the way to, you know, into my adult years. I got
Psyduck.
Psyduck's amazing.
What, Ludicolo? What's the, I forget the Roger.
Ludicolo is a dancing pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
never
a bartender.
Besmirch his great name.
I don't know. Like I got to see all the Pokemon on the big screen and done well. Right? It wasn't really shitty like CGI. Like they made it work. It looked real enough to where even like in the scene, like the middle end where all the mountains come to life and stuff like that. Like it looked good. Good CGI. They got behind it. Everyone in it buys into the bit of the story, and I don't know, it just works. It's fun seeing, you know, a lot of these Pokemon I've been interacting with since I was a kid on screen, and it's got a decent story, and it's got a good ending too. It's got a very satisfying feel all the way through. So I really enjoyed Detective Pikachu, and if you haven't seen it, I think you should watch it, you know, kids or not. If you're a fan of that franchise in any way, it's a good film.
And it has Bill Nighy as
Mewtwo.
Because yeah. If I had to pick a Pokemon for Bill Nighy to play,
yeah, no,
it would be fucking Mewtwo.
Yep. It'd be Mewtwo. I remember that. I don't want to say it was better than it had Business Being, but like any movie that doesn't apply because they all have Business Being good as long as the proper care and intention is put there. But it had, I thought it was better than anyone expected at the time.
If you think of like movies that you would expect to fail, that was probably
it had
one
high
of
fail potential.
Yeah, right. Like it's so easy to see how that movie could just not do well, and it did a great job, actually. Yeah,
I agree.
Dude,
I agree.
You know what the weird thing is about Detective Pikachu?
What's that?
It's not about the movie itself. It's about the fact that it came out, what, 2018?
18 or 19, yeah.
And
2018, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's 2024, and we don't even have a follow-up of any capacity or anything mm-hmm. else in that same universe.
Yeah.
Because, like, look.
It was successful, too.
Yeah, we proved 7 years ago that you could make a Pokemon in, mm-hmm. with human beings like look believable yeah. enough that people would watch it
mm-hmm.
and we haven't seen anything like that since.
Yeah.
No, so I'm sorry, 2019, I misspoke. Yeah. I misread. Yeah. 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. So 5 years then and
still.
Such, yeah,
we're not
years,
but the sequel was scrapped a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think like
which
we,
is weird because like
years
here's
ago.
The thing too, since then Ryan Reynolds has only gotten more popular.
True.
Pokemon has only gotten more popular, and Jessica Smith has only gotten more popular. The mm-hmm. three main characters in that movie.
And you figure like with the Pokemon series coming to it, like the original characters finally coming to a close, you think you'd want something to like to jumpstart all that.
Here, the new stuff's pretty good.
I've been watching it with my kids, and
so
far we like it. Yeah,
feel pretty good. Feel like Pokemon.
It feels like Pokemon made in 2024, and I don't mean that in a bad way, right? Like because
yeah, that sounds like that could be bad.
Yeah, you could put a negative connotation on the whole in 2024, but no, it's like yeah. It feels like a modern rendition of Pokemon. Like now, if the cartoon never came out before, and this was its first appearance in the world. It very much feels like Pokemon now, and it's pretty good. They take time setting up the story, which is unheard of for a kid's show.
Sure.
So I'm down for that.
What's your kid's favorite Pokemon?
My kid's favorite Pokemon. My youngest's favorite Pokemon is Xerneas. She loves that thing.
Well, that's cheating. It's a god Pokemon.
Well, it's because it's got rainbow.
It is
it's got it's got rainbow colors, so she loves it. And then my oldest, she likes a few of them. I would want to say she's going to kill me if I get this wrong, but I know she's a fire type trainer for okay. sure.
Well, that's like, she's a hard mode.
But if she did. But she also really likes Sprigatito, the new
Sprigatito.
Oh yeah,
she calls it Sprigakitty. But yeah, she loves that Pokemon. So
I said Sprigatito. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, of all time, Blastoise. Fucking okay. Big Turtle water cannons. I was a Ninja Turtle nerd growing up. Squirtle was my starter every time. Period.
Yeah, me too. Special. I agree. But like, that's not your favorite. Like Blastoise isn't number one.
I mean,
one,
it can
he?
Be.
I mean, he's my OG,
he is
right?
OG.
I actually have a really I have a huge soft spot for Cubone specifically, just because Cubone's story
the
is extremely
fucking, story
fucking
in
sad.
Wait, yeah. Is he wearing his mother's skull?
Yep. Yep.
That's not a lot of people turns out he that. Might just actually be a Charmander.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not really a joke.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Grace, what's your favorite Pokemon?
Oddish.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
I just like him. He's just Oddish. He's just so laid back and chill. He's just like a weed. That's why I like him. He's just cool, man.
That's the lamest thing you've ever said. You said a lot of shit.
Wouldn't, like, if there was Oddish around, like, I'd just kick the shit out of him. Like, there's a bunch of Oddish running down the street. Just be like, bam!
So scrap everything else we have for B episodes. This is our B episode,
right?
It's just our Pokemon draft, like top 10 draft list, and then our anti draft list.
So, you know the thing, Roger, you said about the meme, that quote you love about ET. Mm-hmm. I thought about that watching Ghostbusters when he punched it. I don't know about you.
Killed ET with hammers.
Fred would have just killed ET on sight.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you guys, but me and my boys would just be ET.
Imagine that we've crossed dimensions and the first Pokemon did come here, but someone just fucking murdered it because it freaked them out, and then it just ruined it for everyone.
It would be something stupid like an Oddish too.
Oh,
like,
it would.
What the fuck is this thing?
I wonder how this tastes.
Listen, Oddish. Fucking eating that
thing. Oh yeah, I got absolutely. There's a
listen, like if you put it in like a foil bag and roast it like garlic, mm-hmm. I bet you Oddish is.
There's delicious. A specific TikTok channel that I follow that just takes popular Pokemon as if they're on like some like weird Japanese like food market and like chops them up into edible bits and cooks them.
Nice.
In cartoon form. And it's weirdly satisfying. I'll send you.
I mean,
that.
Look, there's a lot of them that are probably in real danger. Like Magikarp, they have no real value.
So,
and there's
sushi,
a lot of them.
Sushi.
Chikorita's a big one.
Yeah. Sure.
That you can just completely edible Pokemon.
All right,
this is a weird rabbit hole.
You know what? I was just thinking about that.
I know we're struggling to pick a B episode for next week.
I think we found some.
Yeah. So Oddish has been my. I never really thought about it, but like from like late '90s, that was my favorite. So it may have changed recently with Go and everything, and I've really gotten back into the games. I don't know. I'll have another answer for it.
Than there used to be though.
Yeah. Oh, true. And like with the whole way the typings have changed and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like it was like the old typing rules is like you never saw certain typings paired together because it would just break the game. Now they're like, fuck it, send it.
Yep,
you know, Tinkatonk is a fucking monster in the Pokemon universe.
Shouldn't
now.
Even exist.
Should not even exist. You're correct.
Bastard amalgamation of Pokemon types.
Bastard amalgamation. All right, those are all available to watch on Hulu if you subscribe. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Goodfellas, and Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Let's talk about some trailers. I know a lot of trailers have dropped recently. I'm trying to pick ones that are less popular because I'll use those going forward. But I thought the Dead Don't Hurt with Vigo. With Viggo Mortensen, Vicky Creeps, Garrett Dillahunt, Danny Huston, it looks interesting. And Roger, I have a feeling you also were kind of into this as well.
Yeah, I didn't mind it because, I mean, like, look, Viggo wrote and directed it, so I'm at least a little bit interested in it. And
Viggo's a hell of an actor.
Can
man.
See which direction that it's going, so, like, I'm down for it.
I like, well, Viggo's a guy that I don't, he's.
Do you know what that is?
What?
Oh, so nobody ever asked me my favorite Pokemon.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, yeah. What's my favorite Pokemon?
Favorite Pokemon is the only one of its typing.
Okay.
The Poison Dragon type.
Ooh.
Nagandel. Okay. Naganadel.
Huh.
All right. And, back to the
It looks like a hurt. Giant fucking hornet.
Yeah.
Bro.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Back to the Dead Don't Hurt. The Dead Don't Hurt with Viggo Mortensen. What do we think? Chris, you didn't chime in.
So, I when I saw this, I asked... Roger that if he's been in a Western before, right? So like he seems passionate about these kinds of movies, and my childhood, my love for Lord of the Rings wants this to be good for Viggo, because you know I'll be a forever Viggo fan because of it. He's been in some very little since his time there, so I'm interested to see what he has put his, you know, the idea of his craft into. So I'd be interested to see it, just only because of him though. Like, this is one of those rare moments where, even though I say like big stars don't bring people, like don't fill seats, I think specifically for this, he would get me to see this.
I think so. Viggo, he's also a guy that I think understands like character acting as well, like when he really gets into it. And he's a guy that, I mean, look, Westerns are usually pretty simple, and this trailer is, I think it illustrates wonderfully that this is a Western and what it's going to be. And if you want me to follow a guy for 90 minutes about he was wronged, him and his was wrong, and he's going to get revenge by killing people. Like, Viggo's the guy I can... It's believably doing it, especially in a Western.
This movie seems like it's going to be like 3 hours and 40 minutes long, though, right?
Oh, God, yes. No, I don't think so, but...
You think so?
I don't. I would guess 2 hours or less. 2:15 with trailers, maybe, if you're watching a lot of trailers. I don't know. It depends, but I'm really excited for The Dead Don't Hurt. I think Viggo certainly earned it. Especially, you know, of course, we love that movie, Captain Fantastic, with Viggo and his like 16 kids, whatever. But that's a hell of a movie too.
That is a good movie.
And he was in like a little known movie, a Best Picture winner, Green Book. If you hadn't seen that one, that's a hell of a movie.
Yeah, great movie. Mm-hmm.
And a couple, and many, many other little ones. But let's talk about The Crow with Bill Skarsgård, also Danny Huston. As a feature, what are we thinking about the remake of this cursed ass movie from 94?
First off, before we talk about The Crow, I want to talk about Danny Huston, mm-hmm. Because I mentioned this to Chris. Like, has this man ever played a good person in a movie?
Never, not once. He is the forever villain. Which...
Like he just was born an antagonist.
I mean, those paychecks spend just the same as if he's a hero, brother.
I've been saying that for years, but like, the dude has never played a good person in a movie.
True.
He's probably the nicest fucking guy in the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because he gets it all out on the character. Yeah. What the characters he plays.
He's a miserable piece of crap.
Okay, but like, this Crow, I don't know if this movie's going to be good, but goddamn, does this trailer have me ready to go see it. I don't care where this comes out, where I have to travel to witness it. I want to see this thing in theaters. This trailer is a banger. This is a fantastic trailer.
This is going to be a wide release film. It's near, we don't have to go far, but
so the thing is like, I would have never expected a Crow reboot to ever like be a thing. Like, or, who's clamoring for this? Mm-hmm. But then they're just like, you know what? How about we reboot The Crow and then merge it with John Wick? And I'm like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah. Let's do that. Because why not?
No, listen. So like, I think The Crow is an eye-rolly character from a time before I could appreciate it. Right?
Here's the thing. Grayson is correct, though. It is a cursed franchise.
Okay. I get that.
Do you know about that?
I don't. So, but
I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. So like, but like, I didn't care about this thing at all. I could care less about The Crow. After seeing this trailer, I fucking need this. This is like when we saw the Monkey Man trailer.
Sure.
Don't know what this is or why it's happening, but goddamn, I'm so happy it is.
I'm in.
This guy kills multiple people by shooting through his own body, and that's cool as fuck.
Yeah, he took a sword and ran it through his own body.
Man,
and...
he did the Yoshimitsu from Tekken.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy.
So The Crow's a cursed franchise because the original version of The Crow starred Brandon Lee,
who was
Bruce Lee's son, who was killed during the filming, shot much like
his dad.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Much like the current thing we're going through with the Alec Baldwin thing.
Oh yeah.
On set with a load, like an actual real gun, shot and killed. Jesus. And they still released that movie anyway. And years later made a sequel to it, which was horrible.
Okay.
But yeah, like that's this whole Dang. Crow has never like been able to get out of its own way.
Jesus.
Where the idea behind The Crow is still, I mean, it maintains, you know, crows are always associated with death and the taking people to the afterlife or whatever. But yeah, like this has been a thing since like the early 90s.
Dang, that's crazy. But still, I mean, I'm glad it's happening because it looks cool as hell.
I mean, trailer's cool. It's also a three minute trailer, which generally equates to a longer movie. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the substance for a long movie.
But I mean, you wouldn't think
John Wick can. Yeah, you're right. Depends on how long the fight
scenes are. I mean, it's basically just a guy who's been wronged who then gets revenge on everyone that wronged him. I mean, we've seen it. We see it 12 times a year, so it's nothing new. It's just this is The Crow.
The original Crow was in 94.
Yeah, 1994.
So a 30-year later sequel.
Or the movie is cursed as hell. Yeah. I don't know why, like Roger said, I don't know why you'd ever want to just let this sit in cinema history where just let it sit. We wanted something else. It just
wait. So hold on. Does this trailer not excite you?
No, it does. That's the thing is, I don't because Roger's right. Like, who's clamoring for a reboot of The Crow? Who even knows about The Crow under a certain age?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, who even knows about it?
The only reason why I know about The Crow is because Sting from wrestling looked like The Crow.
Yeah.
So
that was intentional.
Yeah. Nope. So like, that's the only reason.
Didn't he just finally retire? Did you know that?
I think so. Yeah.
There's another franchise not too far. Oh, and I'm probably the same time frame. Roger, you remember Dead Presidents?
I do.
Yeah, you that one. That one's all like
the weird mask with the face paint. Yeah.
I know the band Dead Presidents.
It's not the same.
They're not.
But no, I think the remake of The Crow is weird. Like I'm here for it because I like the original, but I don't know what kind of box office it's going to get. Like, who's like, oh my God, a reboot of The Crow? I mean, like, no one's saying that.
There might be enough old heads that are ready to see this thing, though. So.
Sure.
It's got star power.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Bill Skarsgård is the most famous person in the world, but people know who he is, even though he'll always be most famous for also wearing weird makeup and the clown dressed as a clown.
True.
Creepiest fucking clown.
I think it looks rad. What doesn't look rad, though, I think Roger's right, is Unfrosted. With James. Okay, listen to this cast list. James Marsden, Melissa McCarthy, Hugh Grant, Christian Slater, Dan Levy, Amy Schumer, Bill Burr, Max Greenfield, Fred Armisen. Jerry Seinfeld, Jack McBrayer, Jim Gaffigan, Ronnie Chang, just to name a few. It's a Netflix feature. What are we thinking with this horrendous trailer?
So, I mean, like, look, this is supposed to be some, like, weird, over-the-top version of, like, how Pop-Tarts are coming to our event, right? Man.
Whose idea was this?
Like, look.
I think Jerry Seinfeld.
Obviously, the straight-up similarity has to be to the Flamin' Hot movie, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, if I remember correctly, we all kind of enjoyed. Like, hey, listen, it's not the best movie in the world. Wasn't bad by any means. Perfectly watchable film. This movie to me looks like a parody of itself. And when you're a parody of yourself for something that no one cared about to begin with, then why is this a movie? Was anybody like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool if we did like a comedy version of how Pop-Tarts came about?
I agree. It's
who
a weird...
fucking pitch me was like, hell yeah, man, let's do that.
This feels like weird napkin math, but the comedy form of it. Of Jerry Seinfeld and friends in a restaurant.
I have a feeling Jerry Seinfeld pushes it. I mean, he's directing it, so I imagine he wanted to do it. Maybe he loves Pop-Tarts. I don't know. But it's
sure. I mean, look, what's your favorite flavor of Pop-Tart? We've gone down this rabbit hole for a while.
Brown sugar cinnamon.
Yeah.
Double fudge chocolate.
Oh, yeah. That's being a little bit...
No, it's... Listen,
right? That's a lot of fudge.
Listen, they got to be warmed up, and you got to dip them in milk, but it is what it is. Mm. Turned into some weird cereal, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's just...
What about you, Roger? What about you?
So, I was always a brown sugar cinnamon guy myself. However, as it became, like, just, do you know what flavors of Pop-Tarts there are now?
There are.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yep.
Like, my kid likes Pop-Tarts, so, like, I got Pop-Tarts not too long ago. Yeah. And, like, I went to, like, you know, Kroger to get them where, like, they had, like, 60 types. And I'm like... So, like, do you know they have, like... peanut butter graham cracker ones now? Dude, it was so good.
Fucking changed my life.
Listen, they weren't Pop-Tarts. They were just cookies. Yeah. And that was fine.
That's also dangerous.
Oh, yeah. No, listen. They're in no form breakfast food in any capacity.
It's weird. I don't understand why. I mean, the original unfrosted strawberry is like the original Pop-Tart, and then they started frosting them. And I'm sure the movie will fill us in, but I don't understand why there's so many...
What's the flavor of Pop-Tart you hated?
Oh, there's plenty I don't like. I don't like fruit flavoring in a lot of ways. Like
I never liked the original grape one that they made.
The strawberry, the grape, all that kind of stuff. It just kind of grosses me out.
I've never had a problem with strawberry itself.
But. I don't know. Is there something about that, like that thick like flavoring? I don't like them. I just
what about
don't
you,
like
Grayson?
Them.
I don't mind.
Which one's a hard no?
Yeah.
The ones that are hard no for me are, sorry, Chris, but it's like the fudge chocolate one. I haven't tried the double fudge, and I haven't tried it in milk, so maybe
you're
I'm
right.
Wrong.
Because adding more fudge would make, you know what? Just single fudge, not enough. You get
no,
the double
I just,
fudge.
Well, no, I just think like, it's just a lot of as an adult, I'm like,
yeah,
I
yeah,
cannot
it's a
do
lot.
That. I
oh,
can't
it is, 100%.
Sure.
There's a reason why I haven't had a double fudge Pop-Tart in a minute, you know what I mean? Like they're a delicacy now at this point.
But like, you know they
my
have
body
like,
will
waffle-flavored Pop-Tarts and stuff like that.
Yep,
I agree. It's there are a lot of good flavors though, but I prefer the unfrosted ones. I'm talking about. Yes, all right. We can talk about all those trailers on our social if you have access to that. The Dead Don't Hurt, The Crow, and Unfrosted. It's time now to move into the movie of the week: Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire.
You know, it was always underrated for like breakfast things.
What's that?
Fucking toaster strudels.
Toaster strudels. Are like a sleeper hit.
Here's the thing. We have to move into Ghostbusters, but toaster strudels, I think.
Oh, he's got something to say.
I love toaster strudels. I just think they missed them. Like it's like Netflix. Pop-Tarts were first. They're always going to be the most popular. Netflix
well, sure.
the first. It's
toaster
strudel
was
ones.
Made by the same company though.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well,
yeah, fair enough. That was like
I just don't feel like toaster strudels ever caught fire like Pop-Tarts did.
Well, they had to be frozen, and that was the
problem. That was the issue.
Yeah, I know people who eat frozen Pop-Tarts. And can I tell you something else too? That weird
frozen point? Pop-Tarts are fine.
Hold on.
But well, I thought you were going to say like uncooked toaster strudels.
No.
Like, that person's a monster.
Here's something that really kind of, I don't know how this person does it, is our first AD, he will walk in the kitchen and on one of our two fridges, we have the whole bottom freezer drawer is filled with Uncrustables because everyone loves Uncrustables. I eat like two a day, but.
I mean, they're easy.
He will take an Uncrustable out the freezer, literally open the package and just eat it.
Oh.
Like there's no thought time. There's nothing. What is that?
Wow.
Hold on.
I'm impressed by that man's masculinity.
No. This is when you cue the whole Winchester theme song, Carry On My Wayward Son, Get Some Salt, because that man's a demon. Don't trust Jesus.
I mean, could you just imagine, anything directly out of the freezer and just...
That's a skinwalker pretending to be human, and he's making a mistake, and he doesn't realize it. Yeah, you have a chance to end this. He
doesn't know that the other humans don't do that.
What a much better B episode than what we got. It's just, I watch him do it, and every time he just
also have teeth like diamonds.
Oh god, yeah, right.
But like, imagine like the digestive, like going down the esophagus, and like
be so cold all the way into your belly.
It's like swallowing rocks.
Yeah,
like cold rocks.
All right, now let's really move into Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. Several minutes later, Ghostbusters
food right into Frozen Empire. What a segue.
Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. Let's
get professionals.
Let's get some particulars out of the way. Metacritic? No. Rotten Tomatoes first. 44% for Tomato Meter. And audience score of 84%.
Hey, the people are liking it. All right, the people like it.
The people, they like it. They like it. I don't know about that, but let's... So the Metacritic is 46. That's probably...
Yeah, that's a big disparity, though. In the
No.
Critic,
not if...
Critic to...
Well, 48 to or 46 to they're both 46, although they're both on a different scale, but they're both 46. So Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, I think. So here's the thing. Let's talk about some particulars before we get into it. I didn't bring it up.
Particular me, baby.
We're going to do it for a particular, so I have to bring it up. So Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, when I first got done with it, I love this movie quite a bit. I know it's not great, but I love this movie. I don't know why people are hating on it so much. I think it's much better than people think.
Are you doing a bit right now?
No, I feel like
this is a bit.
Are you doing
not
a bit?
It's not a bit, man. That's why we're having a discussion. But okay. So Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, directed by Gil Keenan, with a cast of Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Celeste O'Connor. Let's see, Dan Aykroyd, of course, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, Willem Atherton, Annie Potts, with others. Roger, what is Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire about?
So, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is a direct sequel to the Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is a fantastic movie. This is set back in New York City, and we get ourselves for the first time in a couple movies, we have ourselves an original alpha level bad guy. And this is their story of how they fight him.
Mm-hmm. I thought how they showed the bad guy was, I thought he was really great on screen.
So I want to start off. Obviously, we've talked about this many times.
Let's ease into this.
I am the biggest Ghostbusters fan.
Huge Ghostbusters fan.
Love this thing. It's been like, it's one of my franchises that I have always loved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, look, I don't hate this movie. I am incredibly disappointed by this movie, though, because Afterlife was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just not.
It makes you wonder if what they did in Afterlife was almost a fluke or like an accident compared to like the craftsmanship comparing like movie to movie.
Well, I think there's a different person wrote this movie,
okay? And directed.
It isn't Jason Reitman.
Okay.
You know, he's still the executive producer. Yeah. So I don't know what that means in this world, but it still had the say on some stuff. But there are some things I like about this. There's a lot of stuff that I don't. Now, the idea of the bad guy that we have, I enjoy.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a cool concept. I think for the first time we see something where, like, a bad guy is so strong, like, their stuff doesn't work right because this dude's such a badass. I think the idea behind that, super cool.
Okay.
This movie is so disjointed, though.
Yeah.
Like, how we get from point A to point B to point C to the finals act is just a broken mess.
Yeah, there's not even a point D, but somehow we get to point E. I definitely agree with that.
So, the one thing I do really want to bring up, and I'll start at the beginning in just a second, but I like the idea even of having some, like, different types of magic stuff in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, Kumail, having him in this movie, a lot of people don't like it. And that's fine. I think that dude's hilarious. I honestly appreciate that guy. I like the idea of having someone like him with a different type of, like, basically arcane version of magic.
Yep.
You know, I can't say that that's not believable in a world where we have people fucking catching ghosts with laser beams. Okay. But to have him be this weird side project,
mm-hmm.
instead of like developing him into what could be something cool, we get him. He's just supposed to be funny. And yeah. it's not that he's not funny.
He's a caricature the whole time, yes. though, in a situation where you don't think he'd be a caricature yep. anymore. That's the problem.
But
I think.
So let's start at the beginning. Okay. Yeah. So we start off, we come right into it. We are chasing a ghost right through downtown Manhattan.
Yep.
Right. You know, we got the whole family, the whole Spangler Gruberson family in Ecto-1 with a busted ass AC
yep.
ripping through downtown trying to catch this space carp or whatever it or a ghost carp.
Yeah, yeah.
Right out of the sewer. And, you know, a little bit of action. Here's the thing. Ghostbusting stuff still looks good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The technology's still looking awesome. Down with it. Even the point we have like a drone trap. You know what? I actually appreciate that. Modernize things a little bit. It's got a trap that opens on both up mm-hmm. and down. Thought that was kind of cool too. Yep.
Why not start with the drone though? In that scene when you're in something flying though is kind of odd, but it's
yeah, sure.
Why
you
do
gotta,
gotta
have the unveil? Yeah, we see right, everything. Right. We've done the rolly trap before. We know what we're getting into.
Yeah,
old reliable works good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that little RC car must really put in some work. Man,
oh, it does.
Like 60 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Those things go quick though.
Oh, they are fast. And that's fine. And then, but it leads us directly into like a confrontation with the mayor's office. I like the callback with Walter Peck, the guy from the original movie that tries to get Ghostbusters shut down, mm-hmm. that he's now the mayor. And you know what? Here's the thing. They cause a lot of damage.
They yep. always and do. They always do.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, we couldn't have this. This is a believable conversation. Bro, you did like $20 million worth of damage because you blew out a corner of a fucking building. Yeah, I get it. They're pissed. I get that.
It's the same thing like Transformers.
People died there, right?
It's the same thing as Transformers, dead. Godzilla. It's the same thing.
I wouldn't say hundreds dead, but if there were no casualties, I'd be impressed. It's
impressive, right?
Yeah.
No, there were definitely casualties, especially the scene
especially because like shit falling down on the street too.
Oh yeah.
Especially like that scene when they see the ghost sitting in the stall at the restaurant, and she just shoots her laser beam out the window. Like, what did that hit?
Yeah. Who? Yeah, like it didn't just stop.
What unlucky son of a bitch sleeping in the upstairs apartment?
There's some guy driving a taxi down the street, gets his fucking car blown up.
Yeah, that plasma beam has to be grounded to something.
Exactly. It just.
Yeah. God. I'm just saying, like, yeah, no, but in all those movies, like, you know, all the Godzillas, all the Transformers, every movie like this, there's
hundreds
so much,
dead.
Hundreds, millions.
Oh, and Godzilla, we're talking damage. Millions.
Oh, yeah.
How many people, okay, let me ask you, we'll get back on track after this question, but the great New York freeze in this movie, you had to have millions die, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people just dead.
So, okay, we'll talk about, I'll sort of
okay,
back
yeah,
to
but
that.
That's,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So, because that's the end. And actually, that's some part, I don't really mind that so much. So here's the part that I really want to get into. So we have this thing where like Phoebe gets kicked off the team because she's underage. Oh, you know what? Sure. Fine. Yep. I get it. You know, you have to work in some sort of story that gets Phoebe away from everybody else for a while. Sure. I get it. And
see, I challenge you. Don't need to do that.
Because they want Phoebe to do her own little thing. And sure. I don't know why they chose that, but fine.
Mm-hmm.
But so then the story, and here's the thing, since Ghostbusters rebooted to Afterlife, the story is Phoebe's story,
yeah.
right? She is the star of this team. And, you know, while everybody's out busting ghosts, like, she's on the bench, man. Like, they told her, like, you can't play with us right now, blah, blah, blah. And we have some side things going on with, like, Trevor and Slimer because, sure, whatever. Fine, okay? But the real crux of this story is Phoebe's story with her weird ghost friend, okay? Melody, or whatever her actual name is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, like, she meets her up in the park, and they have this, like, little weird ghost flirt fest. Fine. Whatever. You know, turns out that, you know, this is just part of the bad guy who we meet relatively soon after that. You know, manipulating, you know, Phoebe to be able to, like, bust out the original containment unit, which mm-hmm. is the crux of this story, right?
Yeah.
The problem that I have with it is, like, look, you want to tell a story about Phoebe, fine. I mean, the entire first movie's about her.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why do we tell this story? And I'm not saying, like, listen, she's 15, she's growing up, you know, she's got grown-up problems now, you know, and you're kind of, like, stuck in this weird because, like, you're kind of weird and, you know, people don't really understand you. Because here's the thing. When you do what you do in this little made-up world that you live in, no one's ever going to fucking understand why yeah. you're the way that you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with how Phoebe is. It's just she's like this weird pariah to her own story, and it doesn't fit the rest of this fucking movie. And especially the way that this plays out. Because if you watch this movie and you think that I'm mad because she's got this weird ghost girlfriend, you're wrong. I'm mad because it plays out exactly how you think it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no surprise here. There's no suspense here. And I understand, like, even though this thing's rated PG-13, you don't really think anybody's going to die or anything along that line. But everything happens exactly how you think it's going to happen from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, the whole Phoebe Melody thing, doesn't it just seem convoluted and contrite? Because, like, there's
unnecessary.
Yeah, there are 10 different ways you could make happen what you do without having to have that happening. There's nothing wrong with that being the thing, but then, like, the second issue that falls on top of that is there are way too many characters in this movie.
There are.
And you don't really get to lean into, like, the little things that would make the story between, you know, her and Melody believable, or that you would care about it beyond the fact that you know it's coming.
Yep.
Because you do. And so much so that when you see the things happening that you knew were coming, it's eye-rolly. You know, like when she is being spoken to by the
Baraka.
Baraka in the middle of the street, mm-hmm. you know, and she's like, you know, I'm trying as fast as I can. It's like, oh my God. Like, of course she's talking to the bad guy, and that's the whole reason. Like, all that stuff, not only is it contrite and eye-rolly, but they don't give it the time to be anything else anyway. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Trevor, you brought him up as an example, and Slimer.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Just let Trevor take a break for a movie. We'll come back to him.
So I just want to give my piece about the whole McKenna Grace thing. Is
okay. Oh, yeah. Who's McKenna Grace?
She's Phoebe. I think I thought about this, and I think you need this. I think it has to be, because you have McKenna Grace is as good anyone that age has ever been. And I think you have to give her own separate thing.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. She can have her own separate thing.
Well, because you got to, I mean, I'm always a fan of remember, because she's a 15-year-old girl. And sure. You have to remember, like, what doesn't compute with, like, 15-year-old girls are, like, what they are. Teenagers. Chris and Roger, you guys are about to have them in your lives. You're raising some of them. But they're not, no teenager is at all easy to get along with. None of them. But, like, I feel like I think they went on the responsible way to write this, and, like, okay, well, this character has to be doing this because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I think I really love so the ghost isn't an extension of, the ghost is being controlled to do what the ghost is doing because she's been promised something from Baraka, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't, Roger, you said something about being, that was just Baraka messing with Phoebe. I'm like, did I miss something? But no, so.
No, she messed with Phoebe. She needed.
No, but I understand that. But I mean, I thought you said something about the ghost was an extension of Baraka. I'm like, maybe I missed that. But it's, I like that story of the match of the pennant. She's still sticking around because she can't go on yet. I like that story. I think the story too neatly fits the fire. What are they calling Kumail in this? He's the fire. Fire master. I think it all fits too neatly.
Firebenders.
Yes.
I think it all fits too neatly the fire master story.
Well, yeah. A lot of convenience there, right?
So I like the Phoebe thing. I think they maybe leaned a little too hard into it, which
it's too much of the movie.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think it's unnecessary.
Well, unnecessary is not the right word. The only issue I have with it, because, like, look, it's their movie. They do whatever they want. Obviously, you know, I don't get to make creative decisions here. But for it to be such a large chunk of the movie, it doesn't really have any ramifications past what you know is absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I said, for all the stuff that they set up for what could be awesome. I'm like, look, you know, I don't even find it outside the realm of like normalcy in this little world for you to like have a ghost friend or, you know, whatever they're supposed to be with each other.
There's a whole franchise based on that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. It's... like, this isn't weird here, but it's just everything they set up is just another piece of the puzzle to fall right in place. Mm-hmm. There's no originality here. And that's what sucks for me here, because like, look, we get a bunch of new cool stuff, like super fucking cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, the little aquarium part where like they have their own like little Ghostbusters laboratory.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I geeked out about that. Yeah, bit. That shit is cool. Mm-hmm. Like, hey man, I got my own engineering team that built five of these and they're like, fuck yeah, brother, let's go. And still, I mean, like they build a machine that sucks Phoebe's spirit out of her body.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the idea behind that is cool.
Yeah.
But look, when they suck Phoebe's spirit out of her body, you knew what was going to happen.
Of course, but it's a little
Everybody knew.
But it's a little too I mean, it's also convenient that they have something that not only does that, but doesn't kill you.
It's not just convenient. You know? It's too convenient.
Well, but it's what's also too convenient is it's so... let me ask you just a little side question. When does this take... this? So this takes place in 22... in today.
This is, I believe...
modern day.
Well, so they say it's 2 years after...
Afterlife.
Afterlife, which puts summer of last year, so 23.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
so
okay.
Modern time, current.
So, but like they're using very old computers, and besides the scene on the beach, none of them. I didn't see a cell phone anywhere in this film, and well, I saw
A podcast uses a cell phone all the time.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I actually forgot about that, and I didn't like. I didn't.
I love that they still don't refer to him by like an actual name.
Yeah, just podcast.
Just podcast.
The other cars on the road look
a lot taller, by the way, like significantly taller.
The other cars on the road also looked very old as well. Yeah. I was wondering what they're like. Are they trying to bring back the 80s aesthetic?
I don't know what that decision is. I don't think anyone really. Like, I don't think that's going to make or break your film in either way. Anyway, in this, right?
No,
it's just weird stuff.
I mean, but it all leans into what they were trying to do, and I think they were trying to modernize it without modernizing it. Maybe, and they should have just stuck with what they did in Afterlife.
Yeah.
But as far as the character progression goes, but I don't have a problem with any of that. I think my problem in this is maybe too much was cut out. Maybe they just cut out a lot. They're like,
you have 14 characters to follow. You have to cut things out.
That could be a thing, but I mean, all I can do is judge by what we got. Now, listen, if there's a director's cut of this movie, I'll still watch it. And I will absolutely watch this movie.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, for me, like, my hopes were so high. And then coming through and then watching what we got. And I was so disappointed because, like, look, there's an action sequence at the end of this movie where Garaka is like legitimately busted into the firehouse and like is just whipping everybody's ass, basically,
mm-hmm.
like untouchable. And Phoebe comes out with her like modified proton pack with the brass thing and it shoots a different colored fucking neutrino beam. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yes.
And like and so they did a good job with that because like it hits Garaka and it like actually hurts him and he looks stunned for a second.
Like, holy
he's like,
shit.
He's like, what is this? And it's like, you know, like that was actually a good attention to detail, some other stuff that happens there.
One other thing too, when everybody else is hitting him with their regular proton beam mm-hmm. and it doesn't hurt him and he freezes it solid, I thought that was cool.
Oh yeah.
Because
Well he'd already done that.
Yeah.
Like still.
Having frozen, like it breaking, like mm-hmm. you know, that we had never encountered a ghost in this universe that at least didn't get like hurt or startled mm-hmm. or like stunned by this.
Yeah.
Not only does this thing like it doesn't bother him, he breaks their toys. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. But the thing about the different color stream is. I wonder what they were doing because that's the same. That's how she won the day in the last film. Like she stepped behind him. Like who was the villain in the last one? Gozer had him dead to right. Like they were done. And, you know, Bill Murray's cracking jokes as Bill Murray does, but he had him. And McKenna Grace, you know, puts on the pack and he yells and gets Gozer to turn around and like there she is with Egon, like fucking hero moment. And she does the same thing in this one. And I wondered why would you do the same thing twice.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's not really the same thing here, and this is why. So with her souped-up proton pack, which eventually does fail, but then it forces us into the thing with Kameo as a fire master, which also, you know, we're not surprised.
Mm-hmm. No,
like,
not at all.
It wasn't something to come out of the woodwork. You know, like you knew what was going to happen. And it's the thing for something that could have been cool to like use a type of different magic along with the sciencey side. Like, there's real potential for that to be neat. And it's just a fucking joke. And I feel sad here because like I shouldn't have expectations for movies to be better than what they are.
When he's playing with the lighter for like a whole 40 seconds on screen and it doesn't work.
No.
Like, that's just
too much. However, but right before that, when he's coming down the, that's hilarious. When he's like streaking down the pipe and slowly, that's hilarious. I don't know why you guys didn't find that funny. I thought that was amazing.
Listen, the 17 ancient old people in my theater thought it was funny, but I couldn't laugh. But I was irritated by this.
Wait, so where do you fall in that? Let me ask you then. We're talking about characters. Where do you fall on that character then? I thought he was absolutely necessary in this movie.
Well, of course he is, because they made him.
They made him necessary.
They made him the crux of the movie. Like, look, like I said, I don't mind them bringing in like that sort of realm of like, let's use magic and science. Like, cool. Great idea, honestly. But for them to make a character that's a joke of himself.
He's a caricature.
Yeah, he is. And for the first hour and 25 minutes, the movie is worthless.
Yeah.
And for them to be like, oh, well, he's going to be the guy, you know, we're going to get him. Of course he's going to be the guy. Of course, when it matters, because there's no fucking stakes here.
What's funny is his character, as unlikable as they make him on purpose, has more of a character arc than anyone else in this movie.
I don't agree with that whatsoever.
Who has a character arc besides him?
I think the family certainly does. I think Phoebe does. Phoebe, Paul Rudd does.
Where's Phoebe's character arc? She doesn't do or learn anything.
Well, Phoebe, so they have an arc as a family, as the family unit gets closer. Yeah. So I'll give him that.
Okay.
But like Phoebe herself, she has half an arc at best.
Yeah. She screws up and does a thing, and then in the end just undoes it with science in the end to edit her pack. She doesn't learn anything from the experience. She doesn't do anything with it.
But just remember, being smart is a superpower.
No, I 100% agree with that. But
and
like,
being rich,
it's this thing.
That's Winston's superpower.
True. It's also Batman's.
Yes. Tony Stark.
And Tony Stark. Lex Luthor. Yeah, like,
goddamn, so many of these.
I know.
Oliver Queen. Goddamn.
Fuck. so like all these things that happen in this film, like. The characters that we're supposed to like and root for from the first film, and like they go on these weird. There's these weird, like Paul Rudd's character. He spends 60% of his screen time driving.
Yep. they marginalized Trevor to the point of almost non-existent.
He shouldn't be in the film.
If he didn't have his whole interactions with Slimer,
which felt forced,
he wouldn't really have been in this movie.
Felt forced, stupid, and unnecessary.
That's why I think there's a much longer, like, I don't mean longer, like 10 minutes. Like, I mean, we're talking like an extra 45 to an hour cut of this somewhere, which is fine.
Because there's 45 minutes of Slimer out there? You're fucking crazy.
No. I don't.
Besides the Slimer.
I know. Yeah,
but
I
would have preferred, I mean, I thought that was kind of funny until we didn't get any more of it.
The Slimer stuff at the beginning, fine.
Yeah, I mean,
the Slimer stuff by the end.
Slimer's iconic, but he's only there for nostalgia part of it. So, like, show him once, give him that one big thing, and then just have him gone. Why is Trevor chasing down this ghost and sucking up more screen time that has no resolution to it besides it eats one of the other monsters?
Just
happenstancely.
Let him get stuck in there.
Yeah, fuck it. Slimer was
useless. They either had to do more with it or nothing at all.
Yeah, but there's so many characters, but in so many little things they're trying to do, for some reason. Like, just let this movie be its thing.
Well, here's the thing with the characters then is, I really did think most characters do have, and this is rare, but most characters I thought in this film did have very human moments with other characters. They did. I mean, I thought everyone kind of had their moment to shine. They had
none of them feel natural. They all feel forced.
Well, the family
every
stuff,
single one of them.
The family stuff I think feels natural. I think the stuff with Phoebe and the ghost, as much as you don't like it, I think that does feel natural.
Oh, no. I didn't say I didn't like it. It just doesn't fit to the rest of the movie.
Well, see, I don't know how much it doesn't. That's a whole thing we can talk about later. But like, I think it does fit to a point, but I think they rely too heavily on it.
Phoebe is a smart kid.
Yep.
And
Mary.
And she understands the importance of what they're doing, but for some reason is a dumb enough 15-year-old to where she throws a hissy fit, pouts about it the whole time, then endangers the not only her family but the entire city of New York because she meets a ghost in the middle of a park in New York at nighttime by herself, which playing chess by herself in the middle of a New York park, that's a stupid idea for a 15-year-old anytime.
Also, that was funny that the Melody whipped her ass too.
Yeah, by the way. That too.
Stomped her.
But like her character is supposed to be a smart character and understands these things. But then all of a sudden your story is she's upset because, you know, legitimately she can't be a rescue personnel of some sort because she's 15 and underage, which kind of makes sense.
I think they're trying to drive home that she's a moody teenager as well.
But why? Yeah. Why reduce the main character to a moody teenager who does something stupid?
Because they put too much emphasis on, like, I agree. The first thing I thought about with her playing chess with the ghost is, why in the world is Phoebe out at night in New York and Central and wherever that was in her apartment? Like, obviously a well-traveled area during the day, but like no one's there at night, so it would be very easy for something bad to happen to you.
Exactly. And on that exact point, if Melody's seeking her out anyway, because we find out that she was targeting, why not just have Melody
anywhere?
Yeah, why not have Melody show up any other place?
Well, Melody
any
does,
other place
like,
that makes sense.
I don't understand why Melody... I don't understand why Melody wouldn't have shown up on the... Because Melody shows up outside of her room. Why Melody wouldn't have just shown up there to begin with? And then,
exactly.
You know, I just... Because the building is enough to, like... Well, all ghosts hate this building because it's where ghosts go to an eternal prison. Like, I get that. And, like, I would have bought that more. I just...
Yeah, but she has a mission.
I think you're right. But that makes the targeting that much more... That makes showing up for the first time outside of her room that much more, you know, meaningful to the movie is...
You're giving
the reason
credit
she's
now.
Target. I don't know
if meaningful is even the right word there.
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean,
well, like, it would make more sense that way.
The only reason why I'm harping on this as much as I am is because it's a repeating offense within the film that really killed it for me. Right now, like, you want to talk about the cool stuff that happens in this visually. It's actually pretty cool. There's not a lot of wasted CGI in this. It looks good. It looks like a AAA film if there ever was a thing, right?
CGI is fine.
Yeah, it's like all that's good. I'm happy to see the actors that are in it. I wish there wasn't so many, but like, you know, like there's no bad acting in this.
Who would you take out?
Trevor. I've already said Trevor. Trevor's gone, right?
You can't, though. He's
why?
Well, here's the thing.
You can't.
You say you can't, but you absolutely could. Because, and listen, I'm not saying that Chris is right or wrong here, but if you eliminate, and hear me out, right? Besides the fact that, you know, he's the one, you know, in the car with them when the family's out and about, right? If you take away his Slimer stuff, his screen time is reduced by 75%. Okay? And I already said we could have got rid of the Slimer stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, that could go off the window.
Yeah.
The other thing is, too, you know, like, Janine, you know, mm-hmm. does she work there? Do we know? I mean this seriously, right? Because
did she answer the bat call signal? Like,
yeah,
what?
I mean, well, like, look, was she the one answering the phone saying "Hello, Ghostbusters"?
She's getting paid a consultation fee currently. She's showing up to help out whenever she's needed.
I love Annie Potts, and she's an iconic part of this franchise. Agreed. Sure, but like, she's in this movie a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, Grayson, to answer your question, if you remove Trevor from this entire film, nothing changes.
But okay, how do you? Okay, I'm only objecting so much. I don't disagree with you, but I'm only objecting. Well, he's the easiest to remove with almost no trace.
Yes.
Or any hurting.
Agreed.
Like, how do you explain it?
So here's the
thing. He's in college. He's 18.
So, no, we can't.
The one thing that I would have done. This is. Now listen, I know this is revisionist, and I hate doing this.
Yeah.
He should be there with Lucky, working in the fucking engineering lab.
Mm, okay.
They should be there together testing stuff with like the cool German engineer guy.
And then he can still show up for a minute. Oh, hi, guys.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Have a couple lines. Be good. Yeah. No, exactly. Fit him into another unnecessary thing that's happening in the movie.
The other thing, too, is like you take a character like Lucky. Mm-hmm. Lucky is like.
Why is she here?
Well, here's the thing, though. If she wasn't here, you don't get any badass moments. Because like when she busts through the door like and like goes at Garaga, who else is going to do that? Like, no one else is there.
Well, no one else is there, but that's because they put them there.
Sure.
It's one of those things where, like, I understand what you're saying. I understand what Grayson's saying. But from, like, my outside perspective coming into this film, it's like I'm watching this movie uninterested in everything because there's so many things on the plate. You know, there's so many spinning plates in this movie that it hurts the overall experience, in my opinion. Like, I'm not down for all the different things they tried to hit with all the different characters for some reason. You could lose a lot of this.
Yeah.
And then all the time you gain back, forge a better film. Instead, we get a whole bunch of half-baked stories with too many characters to not give anyone any satisfying arcs, satisfying story playthroughs, into a villain who gets half joke character out of existence. Which, yeah, it's kind of cool to see it all come together, and it looks beautiful on screen, but I didn't care about any of it because you told me not to like this character at the beginning, but then you make him, you know, a crux of the solution, and the other crux of the solution was a character who pouted the whole time and then ended up endangering everyone anyway.
So the only story arc that I actually was happy to see complete in this movie, and the only one that I actually feel like was really completed, mm-hmm. besides the beat the villain
with Slimers.
No, Slimer. Sure, I guess you technically count that, is when Phoebe calls Gary dad at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, like, look, I was fine with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was happy about that. Like, yeah, that was cool. Yeah. All the rest of it, I don't care.
I would have, yeah, like, here's what I'm going to say, something that's weird, too, is, like, mm-hmm. Paul Rudd is on my list of characters. Like, you
cut him out, right?
Because he's in Afterlife, he has to be in this.
He's an Uber driver for this movie.
Well, but more than, he has to be part of this more than Trevor does, but he's still very easy to reduce.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there has to be a much longer cut of this.
There might be.
I just think. So the budget of this was $100 million.
Which actually isn't too bad.
Yeah, especially for the quality of the CGI we got. Because usually that's an easy thing to see where the money is, like, skimped on in that situation. So it's nice to see. But, like, I think, why not build off of what you started with Afterlife and have a full family dynamic the whole time again and lean into that? Instead, they don't. And then again.
Also, are they on, like, a fucking field trip to New York? Like, do they not actually still live in Oklahoma?
Apparently they moved. It's a question mark on it.
Or do you mean Dorklahoma?
Sure. You mean, all right. So last thing I want to say, and then probably it's time to wrap this guy up.
No, we have plenty of time.
Yeah, it's about time we wrap this up.
No, we've been talking. Okay, go ahead. Talk.
Jesus.
Yeah. What's up? I mean, I see the clock running, so I know how long we've been going here. The only thing that I'm really happy about with this movie, and I mean this seriously, is the fact that the containment unit breaks
mm-hmm.
and everything gets out. Because that means when we get the trilogy, because we will. We're going to get the third one. That in my mind,
now there's something to do, yes, right?
Now, in my mind, we can get the good version of the trilogy where it's Ghostbusters International. And you have people all over the fucking world that can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get cool characters again.
Well, so let me ask you, were you satisfied with the amount of Ghostbusting in this film? Or did that bother you as a Ghostbusters fan? Because we only have two real stints of Ghostbusting, the beginning and the end.
So I'm not dissatisfied with it.
Okay.
Would I have preferred more?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's kind of what I expected.
Here's the thing, though. But for the other Ghostbuster movies, especially the first two,
mm-hmm.
which is what will always be the comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not really long extended scenes except for the main battle scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple, like the first time we see them in the first movie where they first encounter Slimer in the ballroom. That's one of the longest scenes of the movie because mm-hmm. they track him through the whole hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when they're really knocking off ghosts, it's like you see them in news clips, like bust another ghost, mm-hmm. bust another, you know, it's like
yeah.
boom, 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 boom. And they do that in the second one as well.
Could that be technology limitations, though, from back then compared to now?
Sure, it sure could have. But here's the thing, like, if we ever were to get a Ghostbusters thing where we watch them just go on 40 calls, that's not a movie, that's a TV show.
Well, I don't need 40 calls, though, but like, so like, coming off of Afterlife, I expected this to, like, because there's not a lot of Ghostbusting in that either, right?
No.
Because it's
a little bit.
They're setting the story.
Yep.
So like, they set the story. I kind of half expected to come in this film, and then the first part of it being a lot like the first scene where like, you know, they're busting the air carp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, they end that scene and it's like, you know, they talk for like, they do something else, then it cuts to them like go into like one or two more after that to like kind of like show that they're a unit, that they are a family, they are tight knit. And then Phoebe gets like sidelined somehow or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I expected to see a little more of like, you know, hey, we're Ghostbusters now.
Yeah.
But instead we don't get that.
Well, I think the reason for it is, and then the movie obviously pigeonholes it into this way, is because Phoebe's off the team. remember, we're only following, like, we're following Phoebe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, because they're still going out multiple times per day.
Yeah.
So, like, ghost busting is happening. We're just not seeing it.
Not happening
now,
for us, though.
Right. No, you're right. And I understand your frustration with that part of it. But I don't think that that's the story they want to show, because, like, we're supposed to be following Saul and Douche. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, they kicked me off the team. Oh.
Saul and Douche.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't understand actions have consequences. You know, like,
I don't understand that I'm a minor and there's, you know, I'm doing dangerous things.
Look, I'm not trying to talk about, like, you know, hazard pay laws in New York or whatever.
Child labor laws, like, which actually come up at one point.
That's not an entirely unbelievable scenario. Be like, hey, look, we're not going to break your balls for it this time. Just leave the 15-year-old in the office for a while.
Yeah.
That's actually believable to me.
I know. And the family's reaction to that is completely understandable.
It's a reasonable action.
Yeah, and Phoebe's, I guess if you want to think, well, she's, you know, a solid angsty teen, of course she's going to act out. Or you could think, she's also a hyper-intelligent kid who understands these things in the first movie, so why is this all of a sudden something she's going to really zero in on and cause the downfall of New York City? Mm. It's just, it's decisions like this that seem inconsistent from what the franchise has given us. So Grayson, I'll open up to you. Like, is there anything else that you feel like that you like that was like really like needed a scratched itch kind of feel on you?
Well, I mean, I think it's worth discussing how we get in the opening. We see the old Ghostbusters. We see how they were partying and part of the world. I mean, we didn't even talk about the opening with the old fire brigade that came out of their building. I would love to talk about how Phoebe looks like Egon. Like, there that little tiny detail that I don't see anyone talking about or hearing. Like, I think that's brilliant. I really do think that's a nice little detail that no one's talking about.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of where do we go from here? And Roger, I don't think this is a sure thing that we get the trilogy. Because I mean,
I'll never say a movie's a sure thing, but yeah, I feel like we're probably.
I think they're planning for a third.
I think the way they ended this, they plan on this is it. Like, they ended it with a complete citywide celebration, even though no mention of the other ghosts are out there. Like, no one said anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one said anything. No one said.
How do they know? How did the New York City people that cheered for them know what was happening inside the firehouse?
Oh, I don't. That's again, I don't know. But,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's a perfect movie. I'm just saying, I enjoyed the shit out of this. I liked what they did with Phoebe. Okay. I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong about no matter how smart someone is at that age. Common sense goes out the window. Hormones wins that fight every time.
Common sense and hormones to the extent that they would literally endanger their own family everyone else.
Like, she didn't see it as that. Like, how to see? That's why I'm thinking we're talking about. She didn't see
it as that, and it not being true are two different things.
But what did she? Her only thing was trusting the girl. Like, she didn't know that
the ghost she just met.
Well, sure, fine.
I mean, listen, that's a bad thing.
Well, sure, I understand.
A bad decision.
I get it. But they had a heart to heart. They had some great moments. I'm just saying, it's. I think they set it up believably enough that Phoebe would have done what she did, especially because there's like an underrated romance thing there that they weren't too heavy handed with. But it's definitely
also a weird decision. Why not just lean into that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
I agree. But I mean, so
I don't see a downfall. But for a lot of people, I don't see the upside for it. Here's the thing. That's as ambiguous as you ever want to leave it.
Yeah.
And if it never ever touches any of that again, that's fine. Lot of people, that's fine.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
People in that age demographic from the original time.
I mean, if you're keeping that age demographic in mind, though, then why wouldn't you lean more into like some of the other stuff you could have done in this film, though? Too, it's just it's a weird thing.
It seems like they had two different stories they were trying to tell, and they couldn't decide, and they just fucking said fuck it, merge them.
Bold of you to say two, because I feel like there was like six different stories they were telling here.
Well, my point is more than one, and they couldn't really make a decision because you're right. I mean, people don't. If you don't give someone adequate amount of screen time, then you got to cut them.
There's just no time to connect with the people that you want to connect with, right? Like, I'm interested in the stories that they have to tell for this, you know, for this franchise. I bought in after the first one, you know what I mean? Like, they did a good job making me care, but then they put this together and like characters become like unimportant and sidelined And, you know, it's like, it's just weird decisions in a movie that was, that you came off of a success. And then,
well,
why wouldn't you carry that momentum to your next movie?
Well, let me ask you, and Roger, you want to wrap it up, but we're in about an hour and 20 mark, just a few minutes on something else. Just let me ask, Ghostbusters is a very important franchise. It's a very rich franchise with a lot of legendary actors. I mean, not to find like Dan Aykroyd in this was Dan Aykroyd. Bill Murray was Bill Murray, and that like they were just playing versions of themselves. Wait, what?
Yeah, Bill Murray phoned it in, but it's
But I mean, he still was Bill Murray though. But
yeah.
I don't think you can make a Ghostbusters movie even today without them, and I think that's why they never even this movie goes out of its way to like talk about. Well, we had the ones in the '80s, and then these like. Not even no mention of that horrible movie in 2016 that no one ever references.
No, it's because it's not in this universe. Yeah. It's canon.
Yeah.
That movie to these people do not exist.
Yeah. Which, rightfully so.
Here's the thing is, what I saw, why I mentioned this on the show last week is bad reviews are like cancer. They just, as soon as one person hears it, not sucks, dude, I'm not going to watch it. I am not quite sure I agree with that, especially when it comes to this movie, because... even if someone had told you this is awful, Roger, would that have kept you from watching this?
No.
That's my point.
Here's the thing, though. When I give my review here in a couple of minutes, I'll give you the reasons why I scored it.
Sure. And I completely understand that.
You know, I don't have a problem with somebody reading a review for a movie before they see it either. Listen, that's their prerogative. Agreed. You can do what you want. The only issue I ever have, and this is the thing I've said countless times on the show.
You can't review
it unless you've watched it. If you watch a movie and want to say it's dog shit, brother, that's how life works.
Welcome to USA. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's right, man. Listen, they always say, you know, it costs nothing to be kind. Brother, being a hater is fucking free, too. I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
if
I mean,
you don't like something, that's fine.
I know. And that's, I'm not saying people should like this. What I am saying is, I'm appalled at the low box office of this because there just simply cannot be. The ratio doesn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing. The box office numbers absolutely make sense to me, right? And they put themselves into this corner. They knew from the date that they picked it that no matter what, even if this was better than Afterlife, that Godzilla was going to come along the next week and just slap it down. Because even if Godzilla's bad, probably is, dear thing, we'll talk about that next week. Godzilla is a global monster.
Yeah, it's bigger than
like,
Ghostbusters.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
It's as big of a franchise as you can have. It's like Dune was a couple of weeks ago, Ghostbusters in the middle, and then Kong. Like, that should be a real like good lineup of movies.
Yeah.
And they're all just going to cannibalize each other, and Godzilla's going to win.
Yeah.
Well, Dune's not doing bad. Dune's doing very well.
Here's the thing. Ain't number one.
Mm-hmm.
Dune only was number one for one weekend, which is the exact same amount as Ghostbusters.
That was by necessity, though, too, the Ghostbusters thing. But also, I stepped in on... I went back to the AMC City Walk where they still have... Dune is still in the IMAX. And when I stepped in on two of the shows, because I saw like an odd showing, like the way that my Ghostbusters showing started, like I was in the middle of two Dunes, so I stepped in before and stepped in after. Dune was still sold out for IMAX, and we're talking $350, 350 seats at $40 a pop. Like the math to me just doesn't make any sense on all these movies, not just that, but all of them. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I know how that math works though, because. Yeah. Where you're at, sure, $40 a ticket. For the 19 people that saw Dune on peak time on a Saturday we live, that just equals it out.
Yeah.
Or the 11 people that came for the Friday 7 p.m.
No, I totally understand that. It's just my whole gripe is people love to watch things and talk about them, but I don't even think half the reviewers that gave this a negative even watched it.
I don't know. Like, this is a whole different nuanced conversation.
It certainly is, but I mean, I think it's an important one to have.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think we can give it the time it deserves.
And it definitely doesn't need the caveat to Ghostbusters because, like, look, and I'll kick us off here with the scoring because, like, I am as disappointed as I am mad.
I felt bad for you as I watched this movie.
Watching this movie because, like, look. I didn't expect this to be as good as Afterlife. Honest to God, I didn't.
Okay. All right.
I didn't
fair.
Expect it to be this bad, though. Like, legitimately to me, and I wanted to like this movie. I wanted to be happy here, and I'm not. And that's what I think when, so listen, I think this movie's a 4, right? Like, this is below average. We have some parts that don't need to be here. We have people that act, you know, fucking phoned it in. We have, you know, what could have been a serviceable story broken up by some weird ghost romance thing that comes out exactly how you think it's going to come out. There's no surprise. There's no suspense. Besides getting some new gear, this is just Ghostbusters just spinning its wheels. Like, this doesn't help propel the franchise forward. And this, you know, Grayson alluded to it, is not sure that there'll be another one. I still think there will, but like, look, if they said, hey, you know, after this, like, we're done for a while again, I get it. It
makes sense.
Yeah. I 100% get it. Yeah. And the one thing you want to be part of is the resurrection of a franchise. And the one thing you want to not be a part of is the death of the franchise.
It's the decline.
So, and like, here's the thing. This is a lot closer to the end than it is the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's a 4.
Well, when the mains are gone, you don't have Ghostbusters anymore. You just don't.
I don't agree with you on that.
Well,
but
here's the thing. Again, they certainly could if they were accelerating that story correctly.
Exactly.
But I mean, they
forge a movie to not need them anymore.
To this point, they have not done that.
Well, they tried with 2016, but they tried to get away from all of that.
They cut that out.
So
they didn't lean into the
thing is they leaned on the old guard for Afterlife, which I think is the right call there. And I think that then you forge a movie, you forge the new Ghostbusters, you know, on the legs of a franchise, you know, that makes it its own, you know, thing. But like, they can't seem to get away from it. But like, I'll lean into my score with it.
All right.
It's that, so like, my big problem with this movie is that there's way too much going on, and because of that, there's just not payoff anywhere. You don't get any actual good character arcs, in my opinion. You have a whole bunch of screen time that's wasted on people you don't even need, and you have so much plot convenience in this film that it's pain. The things that have to happen for Garaka to be freed is insane, right? You need to have the ghost get this girl to trust her, to then go to some place where her spirit can be taken out, so then Garaka then can then take care control of her, so she can say the phrase specifically to bring him out. Like, it's like, it's such a convoluted thing, and it's so eye rolly that it actually causes me pain.
One question. Chris, what was your score then?
I'm getting to it. Okay. So with all that said, is it worse than Damsel? It's not.
No. Nothing
it's not
worse than Damsel.
It's not worse than Damsel. It's not as bad as Damsel, but it's not far off. So I think I'm in the same place as Roger. I'm at a 4 with this. Like, I'm not gonna ever turn it on. If I see it on TV because my daughter wants to watch it and they turn it on whenever it's on streaming, fine, whatever. But like, the sad part about this movie is you cannot pay attention and it not matter. It's just not good.
I don't know. Mine's going to be, Roger, I wanted to ask you before I score. I would have thought for sure that Kumail's character would have been canon lore of some sort.
Nope.
I don't understand why they would do that then this late in the game. I don't get.
I love Kumail.
Okay. Because they want to change direction a little bit, which is that I understand.
That's fine. Yeah. I love Kumail, and I think he's a fantastic actor. I think he's funny as fuck. I hate him in this movie.
Yeah, but 100%. You know, the one thing they never did is they have the conversation with the science girl about magic. That's the one thing they never did, is science versus magic. You know, the Phoebe.
It's an interesting conversation
that they never had. It's like, that's also gone. And
very advanced science is magic.
I'm not quite as low as you guys. I'm at a 5.5. I really adored this. I really adore the whole franchise, and I really adored Afterlife. I really adore this movie. I realize it's not great, but maybe I'm being a bit generous. But I like what they did with Phoebe. I really enjoyed.
Gotcha.
When you have McKenna Grace, you have to use McKenna Grace. So I understand why they felt like they maybe needed to beef up that, kind of separate her from the rest of the cast for a little while and give her own thing. I really liked that. I liked the Patton Oswalt explanation of what was in the ball.
Like, actually, didn't talk about him. Didn't mind that guy either, by the way. Another dork? Sure, cool.
To have him talk about the ancient Sumerians and how this whole thing came to be. I thought that was a really interesting way of animating that story, which wouldn't have taken tons of time and or money to do it, and was still very cool to hear. There's a lot in this movie I think that they did not do as well as they could have, and I think they sacrificed what they could have done well to put in things other things.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but I think this is the last Ghostbusters movies we get. Roger, for your sake, man, I hope it's not.
I bet we get a third. I do bet we get a third, but we'll see where it goes after
I don't
that.
Think Afterlife made its budget back. I don't think this one made its budget back. Why in the world?
I think it's already planned. I think they have contracts and stuff already ready.
Sure,
I think, I think that they
have enough star power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Well, because like you say about having what's her name as Phoebe,
McKenna Grace.
Yeah, McKenna Grace. Like I would say the same thing about Paul Rudd. If you have Paul Rudd, you should use Paul Rudd. But they didn't.
They're on two very different fields of playing here.
One's very rich and you know, a Marvel star, and one's
one's
15-year-old girl.
Yeah, one's hyper successful and brings people to seats.
Fine, hyper successful or not, I think she's the star here by far. Chops.
She's meant to be. In this world.
No.
We're following her.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, but if I had to rate the two, McKenna Grace and Paul Rudd, McKenna Grace is going to win every time for the better actress. But that's my whole thing.
Wow.
But
that's a bold.
For an 18-year-old girl.
Dang,
I think she is
bold.
Paul Rudd, if you ask me, he phoned it in on this too.
Rudd's script didn't let him do anything besides phone it in.
Actually, he's the only person I believe actually gave a shit.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So anyway,
this is you can only do so much as an Uber driver.
This is a 5.5 for me. I think it's very watchable if you're a Ghostbusters fan. Maybe if you're not, that's going to be an issue. But I don't know how many people are turning it on if they're not. But I think this is. See, the thing, Roger, is at least this movie's bad. Like, you still get Ghostbuster stuff in the Ghostbuster movie.
You got that in the 2016 movie too.
Hold on. That's almost disingenuous to say something why don't you like this movie? You still got Ghostbusters stuff.
I'm not saying why don't you. I'm just saying in the franchises for me that have been killed is the movies that have killed them. They don't even resemble
original. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Like at least you get a movie that somewhat resembles the 80s. The 80s.
This movie is more like Casper than it is like Ghostbusters at some points though.
Actually, that's not a bad comparison.
But I'm equally as disappointed. I just did for different reasons. But I liked what they did with this one. They didn't do enough on either end, and they should have sacrificed one of them to do more for the other.
I mean, look, I'll sacrifice Ghostbusters movies for like a high budget Ghostbusters TV show.
Not gonna get
Amazon.
We're just not gonna get that. I don't think we can get a third movie, but I just don't think so.
We'll see.
Give a 10-episode budget of $50 million and let's go.
All right, let's go. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining me for this discussion. I was actually surprised to see Patton Oswalt, because wasn't he canceled recently? Or wasn't he have some very negative press recently?
I'll be honest with you, I don't follow Patton Oswalt enough.
Say anything negative about Patton Oswalt on air, but I'm not a big fan of Patton Oswalt.
About him.
Well, no, I don't mean anything negative. I remember he was in a lot of hot water.
You are correct about that.
Okay, fair enough.
Moving on.
But, all right. Moving on. This has been episode 376A of Ford Love Cinema, a movie podcast. Each new episode posts every Tuesday and Friday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice of the following six. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Please leave a comment or two, rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. More importantly, thank you very much for listening. Check out the show on Twitter at Love Cinema Pod. I'm at Grayson Maxwell 1.
Hi, I'm at Rog Stillian.
I'm Christopher Bond.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, always posting things on social media. Send us an email to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next week, we're taking a look at Godzilla, Cross Kong, The New Empire, and Spaceman. From Netflix.
Space Man.
Space Spider.